You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
I just want to throw this out to you folks. Using only your Chinese zodiac, how successful are you at committing crime?
How successful are roosters at robbing a bank? I don't know. Does a bear shit in the woods?
Only if he's in those toilet paper commercials. I know I'm a pig, which is one of the most hyper-emotional of the Chinese zodiac, which means I would get the money and would be like, I'm so sorry, I gave it to charity and then called the police and I also gave them a map to the house. I'm not good at this. I bring this up because we are here reviewing Lucky Grandma, which is a Chinese... a crime film based in Chinatown in Manhattan. And the first thing we learn about our lead character is she is an ox, which makes her hardworking and determined, but also stubborn. Will that help her get her fortune and make her the lucky grandma? Well, we shall find out. Before we do, I am Mindy, and with me is Adrian.
Hello.
Hello. And we've got Joshua.
Hello.
And London. How you doing?
Present and accounted for, and I'm doing well.
Yay! So, would any of you like to go into the synopsis of this film?
All right. So, Lucky Grandma is about our titular character who just goes by Grandma, or Nai Nai, as it is in Chinese. And her husband has just passed away. And she just seems like she's kind of stuck and just wants to be left alone, doesn't really want to be with her family, just wants to chain smoke and watch her Chinese period dramas. But she hears from her fortune teller friend that she's going to be pretty lucky, so she decides to try her luck at a casino. And though it's going well, it ends up pretty bad. However, there's a saving grace. On the bus ride back home, a Chinese mobster happens to die right next to her, and his bag full of money falls on her as well. So she decides to take the money, and shenanigans ensue from there. I don't want to say much, but there's more. There's Chinese gangsters. There's a gigantic, adorable bodyguard who's like 8 foot, 9 foot, 10. And
he's a rabbit, by the way, which I think is adorable.
And this is just such a treat of a movie, but let's go on from there.
Well, by all means, you say it's a treat. Why do you think it's a treat?
So I've been reviewing movies for One of Us for a little bit now, and I feel like it's all been leading to this, as well as 2020. I've finally seen a movie that's maybe one of my favorite movies this year. I'm not sure what's going to beat it right now, but I love this. I thought this was so pleasant and funny and fresh and just all around enjoyable, which is crazy because it has pretty dark themes. It's about crime. It's like a mix of Napoleon Dynamite and Brick all in Chinese, and yet it completely works.
Yeah, I found the strength of it is absolutely Sai Chen, who plays Grandma. And the fact that she's a very sardonic, bitter woman who's just trying to make it, who's just trying to have some semblance of success after her husband screwed her over. And it finally comes into her lap, and then all this nastiness and badness follows her way. And here's a woman who has followed fortune and followed fates and followed the spiritual path to success, and it just hasn't worked. And so to have that combination of faith in this and having it fail for her, and then it's certain, and just being like sardonic about the whole thing is one, hilarious in many occasions. And then when it gets to, you know, there's a moment where she just breaks down and it's just heartbreaking, and it's like her range is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I'm just gonna echo both of you. and Joshua, actually, I think I'm even more on your side. This is probably by far one of my favorite films I've seen this year. And it's a perfect combination of comedy, drama, thrilling action. Like I said, even the action is good. Like, there's a couple of fight scenes, very brief, but even they were, I thought the choreography was pretty solid. So honestly, it's just a nice, compact, well executed film. And about the performances, I do agree. I think Cai Xin, she's definitely she has the most to do, and she has the strongest dramatic lead. I have to give a lot of props to the bodyguard too. I thought that he had such charm to him.
Yeah, I'm going to butcher his name, but I think it's Xiao Yan Ha. He plays Big Pong. And yes, absolutely. Big Pong, he's such a sweet character, but he is a bodyguard. So he will come and he will mess you up. But then when it gets really bad, he's like a little boy at heart. And so you have this dynamic of being fearful, but also a rabbit, which is what his zodiac is. And I thought that was fascinating too.
And one of the things that I think he did well was there was a lot of little jokes that he had to perform or be a part of. And they were very subtle jokes, and he executed them pretty well. Like, they had a joke where, I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's not that much fun. Well, there's a scene where they're all eating, and, you know, he's looking at them, and, you know, he's like, okay, so they invite him over, and he starts eating with them, and he starts eating the vegetables. Like, don't you have the chicken? Like, no, I'm a vegetarian. And, like, just, like, that's like a little joke, but it's funny because how big he is. He's like, oh, this guy's a vegetarian.
That, and you just found out he was a bunny. So yeah, exactly. He's like, he's eaten the bok choy. He's like, yay. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the action. Yes, this is a crime film. So what was it about it that seemed so alluring and so good, I guess?
The action was, it seemed real, but cartoonish at the same time. And I think that's what I found was interesting, because I'm trying not to spoil it, because I really recommend this film. But there's a scene in the barbershop or hair salon, and there's a fight, and it's just, there wasn't too many cuts. It just kind of, the choreography, everything flowed together. Because that's a lot of problem with a lot of action movies now, is when you don't really know choreography too well, they cut a lot, so they don't have to show that the clunkiness of the action. Here, it's all throwing, all fulfilling, all flowing, and it feels like a genuine action scene. Now, they're very short, mind you. They're not like, you know, we're not talking about like, they're not like John Wick level epic battles here, but for an independent film, it's pretty solid and well executed.
The camera is pretty stationary through most of the film, including the action scenes that you mentioned. And that kind of adds even though this is in a way a cartoonish scenario, it definitely feels grounded in reality. That fight took maybe like 2 seconds, and it seems like that's exactly how it would go in real life, while still being fun to look at and entertaining.
Yeah, so I enjoyed this. I don't know if I loved it as much as the three of you, but you say Napoleon Dynamite and Brick. I was thinking more this was like a Chinese version of Baby's Day Out, that old 90s movie, because it's basically like she's basically the baby. She has gangsters following her. I thought one of the funniest scenes in the whole movie is when she initially gets the money, because when I lived in Austin, I used to take the bus or the train quite a bit, and having someone fall asleep on your shoulder is just one of the biggest peeves in the world. And so you think, oh, he's just falling asleep on her, and then you go, oh shit, he's dead. That's not good. And when she explains to Big Pong later in the movie, trying to stay away from spoilers, but I mean, when they kind of have this conversation about that event, it's a very emotional scene when she does kind of go ahead and lay everything out. And there's a couple scenes where she's running like faster than I thought she would be at her age. I'm like, okay, go ahead. And as the movie does build to its climax, it really does intensify. It felt like very similar to Baby Driver at points, as far as how the score kind of enhanced the movie at points, and how the movie almost screws with you with these kind of whimsical points in the score where something very dark is happening. I thought that was really clever. And there's this one scene in a steam room that I thought was so well shot. I went, bravo. And that's the director. It's her first movie. Really impressive. She did this thing back in 2005 that I can't find a score for. She did, I guess, a little bit, an episode or two of Fresh Off the Boat. But as far as a film, this is her debut, and she also wrote this the screenplay, too, and brava. She co-wrote
it with another, it was actually a comedian. And there, yeah, there's, but this, yeah, I think this is their first work, so he really knocked it out.
Stacey Seeley, and I'm looking for her credits, and it looks like she's done a couple TV series, like a TV movie, but yeah, this is definitely her first feature.
I'm really looking forward to anything she does next, and I'm hoping this gets a bit of a following. I think it definitely deserves it. I just hope it doesn't get too big to the point where they hire her to make Black Widow 2 other Marvel property and we just lose her identity completely.
Oh, yeah. Heaven forbid she does a Marvel movie and actually makes money, you know, heaven forbid. But
at least let her get like 3 more movies out before
that's fair. But it's going to be very interesting to see what she ends up doing next, because this is one of those films where you go, okay, you've got something. Like, I really want to see what she does next. She will have a superhero project probably within 5 years, because that's what all the indie directors are doing. But this is a hell of a debut, and this is a very quirky movie, but I mean that not like in a hipster way. I mean that like in a good way. This is one of those movies that you'll end up passing around to people and going, hey, I own this. You should watch it. I hope this gets a good following, because it really does deserve it for being as good of a film as it is.
Well, I think she was really good at keeping a good balance between the comedic and the dark side. And one thing I noticed is, like, even in regards to the fight scenes, the focus is always on Grandma. Like, there's one of my favorite scenes in this film is there's a fight scene where all the fighting is happening outside, and it's just Grandma's reaction to it. And I realized, looking back, it's like it's all pretty much from Grandma's point of view. And in order to do that and keep it engaging, that's a bit of a skill. And she manages to do it really well, I think. And it seems you guys think too. And the thing that struck me is, like, one of you mentioned that she co-wrote it with a comedian. So I was going to ask this, like, and you mentioned, you know, it being quirky and also dark. How do you feel the balance was between being quirky and dark? Because, you know, these are mobsters that are coming after her. Little Handsome and Pockmark and... not Sister Fong, but she's also a gangster. It's like, do you think the comedic elements either enhanced or detracted the gangster crime element of the film?
Actually, one of the things I looked at when I looked at the press notes was they were heavily influenced by Jackie Chan films. And that's kind of the tone that I got as I was watching it. It felt like one of those movies where they're gangsters. The threat is real, but it's still in like a goofy world where, you know, they can have funny fights and gangs can be, you know, so like one gang could be so much more powerful than another gang that one guy could take out two of their guys it's almost like a power level in a video game. So I thought that was funny. He's like, oh, don't worry, our gang is so much tougher, like one of us could take like three of them down. It's like, oh, that actually does happen. So so that's kind of what I got from it, and I think it did do that well. Like, it never took itself seriously, because from the very beginning, like I said, from the casino scene and seeing the events that transpire from there, you kind of get the tone, you get what's going on. And you get that this isn't reality. This is a stylized Jackie Chan like reality.
The kind of worry with comedy slash dramas or comedy slash thrillers is that either the thriller part is going to be too dark, that it's going to be seemingly out of nowhere, or that the comedy is not really going to hit well throughout. And this is the best examples of all the genres that it's imitating. In terms of comedy, it's I would say it's funny throughout. Not only are there jokes that are cultural that also translate well to English, there are jokes in the dialogue that are really funny. There are faces that are made that say more than words, that are it's a punchline. And there's even visual jokes being done by the camera and the way it's zooming in. It is a hilarious comedy, yet it somehow still manages to be a good thriller. The consequences are very real, and they don't feel out of nowhere. It feels like it really is a perfect balance, and it's been a while since I've seen a movie like that.
Completely agree with you, Adrian.
Yeah, I thought the balance was actually. I thought I did a. You know, I kept going back to Baby Driver. I don't like this as much as Baby Driver, but I kept going back to that balance of there. Like anytime it got a little dark, there'd be a little lightness. I'd go okay, and I thought the last scene, like the last 5 minutes, did a really good job of kind of putting a bow on this. So it was like. Okay, I like where this ended up, and I liked the last confrontation, as it were, which was surprisingly dark for how we got there. I went, okay, movie props. So it does. I could find people finding some of that jarring if maybe this is your first exposure to this kind of crime thriller / comedy, but I don't really think that's on the movie. I think that this, it's something that as you're exposed to it more, you'd get more used to. So
that's fair. So anybody else have any like specific performances or specific moments in the film you want to highlight?
There's a scene where they do Fortnite dances, and even that was funny.
Oh yes, with the kids.
Even that was enjoyable.
Yes.
Which has never been enjoyable.
I do have one criticism though, and it's just a tiny one, but I thought speaking of the Fortnite that involved the grandson, I thought that the grandson plays a significant part later in the plot, and I just felt that they should have developed more of a connection throughout the story. There was, but I think it should have been more integral because he's very important later on. So that's my only criticism. So.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I felt the family, because it has grandma and her son and daughter-in-law and then her grandchildren as side characters to this. And the ending and the beginning are both book ended, whatever the term is, you know what I mean, with them. And I felt that way about her son, because there are moments in this film where he is absolutely trying to connect to his mother. He is trying to get her to essentially come into the family instead of living on her own in her sullen apartment with nothing but the memories of her dead husband who screwed her over. And it's really emotional, and you can tell that there is depth there, but it's so brief. And even, you know, he and her are the last scene of the movie, and it doesn't quite sum up or close that story. And in not in like an ambiguous way, in kind of a way, in that it needed to be developed more. So I agree with you in regards to her and her son in particular.
Yeah, I would have liked a little more backstory on the husband. I mean, they give you enough for the movie to work. This is a very lean, like, 87 minutes. I think you could have stretched this to another 15, 20, just to develop the family and a couple other characters a little more. Because for where the story ends up, you do need to have a little... You need to care about the characters a little more, which the movie doesn't allow you to do, which is a bummer. I mean, it's a mild criticism because grandma is so excellent, but for us to care about her inner circle, we need to have them developed a little more, and I thought the movie missed an opportunity to do that.
Although I do understand what all of you are saying, it never really bothered me because I never felt like what's important is grandma's relationship with her family or even kind of how the movie ends up, but I was thinking more, this is just all about her. I mean, she doesn't even have a name in the film. It's called Lucky Grandma, and we follow Grandma. So if anything, any kind of character interaction between her and her son, her and her grandson, even her and Big Pong, I felt like it was all intended to build up what she's thinking, what she's feeling, and how it's affecting her as opposed to how she's affecting everyone else around her.
How about we get into final thoughts? Joshua, how about you get us started?
This is a good movie. I don't know if this will be on my top 10, but this is something for the year, but this is definitely something I'd recommend to people. Outside of the false advertising, because you hear the term lucky grandma, not one sexting of the grandma, bunch of bullshit, but outside of that, though, it really is a very well-done movie, especially for a first-time director, which is insane when you really think about it. I'm really excited to see what Sassy Seeley does next. I thought this was a damn good film. So I'll give this 8 walk pans that almost kill a gangster out of 10.
And you, London?
Yep. Well, okay. I mean, like I said, we've already kind of said my piece. You know what, Joshua? I think this might be in my list for the top list of the year. For now, you know, we'll see if it gets knocked down. But I really did enjoy this, and I was pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed everything about it. I love the performances. I love the, you know, but actually something I wanted to do agree with you with was I did think it needed to be a little longer. I think they needed to have a little bit more time to establish characters. I just, like I said, my issue with the grandson, I just felt like his part in the story would have been much more profound if they had a deeper relationship or they established more with them. So, like I said, that's my gist. Like I said, I don't really think anything else I could say. I enjoyed it for everything that it was. So I'm going to give this 8.5 reasons to not cut your tongue to intimidate someone out of 10.
Oh, that scene was horrifying, yes. And what about you, Adrian?
You know, you guys bring up that you kind of wish this movie was a little longer. If I have any kind of criticisms, it's that I feel like some scenes could have been cut a little sooner. We kind of linger a little too long. And near the end, there is some extremely noticeable use of green screen, but these are just nitpicky things. This movie is so good that even those little things aren't enough for me to think like, oh, well, now I gotta reduce its score. No, I found this completely enjoyable from beginning to end. It was a fresh breath of air, and this is because I watch a lot of movies, so to see something that is a colorful mix of genres all done so well and that kept my attention the entire time. While watching this movie, as soon as it finished, I texted most of my friends and I said, there's going to be a movie coming out this week called Lucky Grandma, and I need all of you to please rent it and watch it because it's fantastic. This is one of my favorite movies of the year so far. I know 2020 has been shitty in general, but this is a highlight. This will take you out of whatever purgatory state you're in because of quarantine right now for at least a little bit. And I give this 5 TikTok videos out of 5.
Yeah, I also thought this was a very strong film. It all hangs on the shoulders of Sai Chen playing Grandma. And I love the fact that there is very much a balance between being dark and being comedic, because Grandma goes through a lot, and it could easily be very heavy and very depressing of everything that happens to her, but the film manages to keep it just comedic enough and just light enough that you aren't bogged down by the events of the storyline. And the performances of everyone are pretty solid. You know, obviously you mentioned Grandma. Yeah, I'm going to butcher that name again. So I'm just going to say his character name, Big Pong. We also didn't really mention Sister Fong, who is the rival gang lord. And even though she's only there for a little bit, you can tell that she has power and is able to manipulate the world with her pinky. And I loved that. And I love the fact that it's a woman, but that's just me. But anyway, as I said, I do wish that they had focused a little more on some of the other characters. Like I said, like the son, you know, Sister Fong as well. But that's because the actors portraying them were so interesting and the characters themselves were so engaging that I wanted more. You gave me little bits and I wanted more. So yeah, and you know, awesome first job, Sassy. The camera shots were dynamic and great, and I love the fact that you were able to do that while keeping it still on Grandma and not, you know, on the gang lords who are shooting each other in this big old firefight. Did that mean that? Claps, 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 claps. So I am going to give it 8.5 crystal chandeliers out of 10. So you guys, I just want to let you know, I just got a big old bag of money that fell on me on a bus. And I was just wondering if maybe, you know, don't ask. It was a gift. Maybe we could go to like the Lucky Panda Casino and see just how it works out. I'm feeling lucky.
Well, I'm only 5'7", so I hope you're not counting on a bodyguard.
Oh, I'm 6'1", so yeah, there you go.
You're hired.
Hopefully I can get lucky for Grandma. Boom, there we go.
Oh.